Good morning.
It's good to be here with you this morning at the Mount Hemer Baptist Church. I just want to say what an honor and a privilege it is to have this opportunity to be here with you. First time I've ever been here. Beautiful, beautiful facilities and very, very friendly greetings, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate Brother Grant allowing me the opportunity to come here today and just to share with you just a small portion of the Word of God. So again, I just want to say how much I do appreciate this opportunity to be here with you this morning. I will ask you this morning to just kind of overlook me a little bit. I had a little bit of a late night shift last night. It was a little bit of a staffing shortage, so I got home just a little bit later this morning than I usually do. So if I'm stumbling for words or if I stutter around a little bit, just overlook me and forgive me if you would. I'm going to ask you this morning, I do believe that this is certainly the Word of God. I believe that that's all inspired by God Himself, and I believe that it is certainly worth standing for this morning. I got a few verses of Scripture I want to read to you, so if you turn with me to the book of 2 Kings this morning, the book of 2 Kings chapter number 5, and as you're making your way there, after Brother Grant called and asked if I could come and preach this morning, I began to pray about the message to share with you this morning. And for the last several days, there seemed to be a word that just kept coming to my mind over and over and over for the last several days. And it's the word idea. This word idea just kept coming up over and over again over the last several days. I began to think about that word idea. For such a small word, it carries a pretty large definition. I even went and looked up the definition, and according to Webster's dictionary, the word idea carries this definition. It means any conception existing in the mind as a result of mental understanding, awareness, or activity. It also carries the definition. It means an opinion, a view, a belief, a plan of action, intention. Now again, for such a small word, that carries a pretty large definition. And I begin to think about this word idea, and really when we think about this word idea, it's because of ideas that man has had that we have a lot of things that we enjoy having today. A lot of the great inventions came because of an idea, didn't it? So there's good ideas, there's bad ideas, but the thing that came to my mind this week is sometimes, even though there's good ideas and bad ideas, sometimes we have what's called a preconceived idea. And what that preconceived idea is something that we've already made up our mind about, something that we've already said in the back of our mind, that we've already made a decision. And we think again about that definition, that conception, that existing of the mind as a result of the mental understanding, the awareness or the activity, the opinion, the view, the belief, the plan of action, the intentions. Sometimes it can become dangerous to have a preconceived idea. And I pray that you'll gain a better understanding of what I mean as we go through the message this morning, because we're going to look at a man by the name of Naaman. And this man, Naaman, in his life, he had a preconceived idea, and because of his preconceived idea, it almost ended his life. So I want to ask you to stand with me this morning as we read and reverence the Word of God. If you're willing and able, would you please stand with me? I want to start at verse number 9. I want to read down through verse number 12, and we'll cover a few other verses here in just a little bit. But the Bible says here in 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 9, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said," you see, right here becomes Naaman's preconceived idea, because he says, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Let's pray again this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning again as we come and gather here and assemble in your house, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. I just pray, Lord, for your blessings over the services this morning. Lord, I just pray for the Mount Hebron Baptist Church. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just bless her as only you can. And Lord, that she'll be a great light into this community as she strives to carry out the commission that you have given to her. And followed, I pray for Brother Grant, their pastor, Lord, that you'll just give him grace and the ability to pastor in the way that you'll have him to. Lord, I just thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to be here with them today. And Lord, we just want to pray this morning again that you'll just arrest our attention, Lord, that you'll allow your word to speak to our hearts, to find a penetrating place in our hearts this morning. But Father, Lord, I pray most of all, Lord, I just pray if there might be just one soul that is here this morning that is lost without Christ as their Savior. Father, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to that heart today. Father, Lord, I pray that you'll lay conviction therein. And Lord, I pray that they'll come to receive that free gift of salvation, Lord, that only you can give through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray this morning. And amen. You may be seated this morning. I appreciate you standing. I really do believe this is the true Word of God. And I believe it's certainly worth standing for as we read and reverence the Word of God. You know, the Lord even stood himself when they asked him to read in the synagogues. And even when Nehemiah read the law to the people stood as they read the law of God. But as we look at this passage of Scripture here again this morning, and our focal point will be in verses 9 through 12 again, because we're going to think about this word idea and the preconceived idea that Naaman has as he's come to the house of Elisha, because, well, Naaman's got a problem. Naaman, that we find here, he has developed leprosy. Now, we learned a lot about Naaman in the very first verse, and I do want to draw your attention to verse number 1 for just a moment, because we can learn a lot about him right here in this verse. We go here to verse number 1 here in chapter number 5, and the Bible tells us, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor," but this verse ends by saying, "but he was a leper." So allow us in our mind's eye this morning to try to develop this image of just who Naaman really is. The Bible tells us again that Naaman was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. This tells us this morning that Naaman had a high-ranking position within the king's army. That would tell us that he's a man that would wear a decorated uniform. He's a man that would carry power. He's a man that would carry prestige. He's a man that would be known within the community and the society there in which he lives. People would look at Naaman and they would know him. They would look at him and be able to say, "There goes the captain of the king's army." So they would know him. But the Bible also goes on and tells us that he's a great man with his master. This tells us that the king himself would look at Naaman, and he thought a lot of Naaman. He cared for Naaman deeply. And the Bible even goes on and says that Naaman was honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. So this tells us that Naaman was even a decorated war hero. So here stands this man. Let's envision him this morning. Here stands this man. He's a captain of the king's army. He's an honorable man, the Bible tells us. He's a man of valor, the Bible tells us. And he stands there in his uniform, and he stands there in all the glitz and all the glamour of his life. But the Bible even goes on to tell us that he was a leper. Now, when I say this word preconceived idea, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, a lot of times we have preconceived ideas without even realizing we have preconceived ideas. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times we can look at someone who has fame or someone who has fortune, someone who has a lot of wealth. You can look at movie stars or singers or famous athletes, and we can look at their lives and say, "Man, they've got it made. They're rich, they're famous." You look at the houses that they live in, you look at the cars that they drive, you look at the places that they're able to go, and we can look at someone and say, "You know what? They've really got it made." We can do that, can't we? Because a lot of times we have a preconceived idea or a preconceived notion that if someone has money, they don't have any problems.
Because we live in a society that thinks and has this preconceived idea that if you have money, then you have the answers to any problem that you might have. But if that's the case, then why do a lot of these famous celebrities, these famous people, why do they still have problems in their life? You see, they look at Naaman. The people in society look at Naaman the same way that we look at movie stars or athletes or just famous people in general. There's people within that kingdom looking at Naaman and going, man, he's got it made. He's a captain of the king's army. He's a man of valor. He's a man of prestige. Just look at his life. Wouldn't it be great to be Naaman? But what they didn't know and what they could not see was underneath that uniform was the body of a leper. Leprosy, of course we know, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on leprosy. I know that you know what leprosy is. Leprosy was a disease at this time. There was no cure for leprosy. Leprosy was something that if you developed or you had, it was something that would defile you. You know, when you go to the book of Leviticus, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but when you think about leprosy, leprosy really isolates its victim. The Bible tells us there in Leviticus chapter number 13 that a leper would be someone who would be plagued with this awful disease, and the Bible would tell us that they would have to rent their clothes, they would have to bare their head, they would have to put a covering upon their lip, and everywhere they went, what would they have to cry out? Unclean. Unclean. Now, can you imagine living with this type of condition? Can you imagine having to even isolate yourselves from your family and from your loved ones and from your friends? Because the Bible also tells us there in Leviticus that so they must live alone. Alone without the camp shall his habitation be, is what the Bible says. And I'm not trying to interject anything in the Word of God that's not there. I just want you to think about the possibilities of what Naaman might be feeling at this point in his life. Naaman knowing that now he has leprosy. Now this time, this man who has lived this life of prestige and of honor and of valor is now a man who has contracted this leprosy that he can't go to the local doctor's office and he can't get a shot and he can't get it cleared up. There's no amount of medication that Naaman could take that would allow this disease to be taken away. It's something that is going to defile him and it's something that is ultimately going to take his life. It was a deadly disease. Those who had leprosy were known as the walking dead. So what I want us to understand is now Naaman has this very serious issue in his life. How would you feel if you had an incurable disease? If you went to the doctor and the doctor said, listen, you've got this disease and there's nothing that I can do for you. There's no shot that I can give you. There's no medication that I can prescribe to you. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can take. This disease that you have is ultimately going to take your life. How would that honestly make you feel this morning? You see, I believe Naaman probably at this time in his life, he's feeling maybe a little bit hopeless. Maybe even a little bit helpless. But the Bible also tells us there in verses 2 through 5, that there was a little maid in Naaman's household that was able to see past the uniform. She was able to see past the glitz and the glamour that Naaman might have in his life, and she was able to notice that he has this condition of leprosy. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So we find here this little maid in Naaman's home. that she is able to see Naaman's condition, and she goes to his mistress and she tells him, listen, there's a prophet down in Israel. There's a man of God that is down in Israel, and he can help Naaman with his condition. It's not helpless for Naaman. It's not hopeless for Naaman, but he can go down to Israel and he can go to this man of God, and this man of God can recover him of his leprosy. And this word gets to Naaman. So Naaman, he does all these things. He takes his silver and he takes his gold and he takes his chain of raiment, and he makes the journey to go down to Israel because now he has a little bit of hope in his life. And as he gets there, and I'm not going to go and read through the passage of Scripture, but he goes there, and the king that's there in Israel becomes a little bit distraught. He reads the letter that the king of Syria sent with Naaman, and he says, how am I supposed to recover this man of his leprosy? Who am I? I'm not God. I can't do this. But the message gets to Elisha, and Elisha tells him, you come down to my house. And as you come down to my house, there's going to be a message for you. Let us look. Look at verse number 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So here's where he picked up. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover this leper. Are not abandoned far apart rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? This is a question that he asked. And he also asked this other question, may I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. So let's put all of this together. I said everything to get to this point right here. Naaman has this preconceived idea of how things should have went. You see, the moment that Naaman heard about the prophet that is in Israel, as soon as Naaman heard that there was someone there that could help him with his condition, he gathers his gold and he gathers his silver and he gathers his raiment and he makes his journey. You see, Naaman's got this preconceived idea that things are going to go the way that he wants them to go. And he goes down and he gets to the house of Elisha. And the Bible tells us that Elisha didn't even come out himself. But Elisha sends a messenger to him. And the messenger gives him this simple message. The messenger says, Naaman, you go down to the Jordan and you wash 7 times. Naaman's like, what? What? You mean to tell me I've brought all of this gold and I've brought all of this silver and I've brought these possessions and I've made the journey and I've come to your house and you send a messenger unto me? He says there in verse number 11 that he was wroth and that he went away because he said, behold, I thought. He says, I thought that he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover this leper. You know what Naaman thought? Naaman thought that he was going to go to the house of Elisha. They was going to roll out the red carpet for him. They was going to welcome him. They were going to basically honor him. And Naaman thought he had this preconceived idea that he was going to go to the house of Elisha, that the heavens were going to split, the thunders were going to boom, that Elisha would do this great proclamation of raising his hand over the leper and striking and recovering him of his leprosy. This is the idea that he had. But the message was simple. The messenger came and he said, Naaman, you go down to the Jordan and you wash 7 times. And Naaman, he got mad. And you know what he did? The Bible says he went away. That means he turned and he walked away. He might be saying, a preacher, what's the big deal? Think about his leprosy. Think about his condition. It's a condition that is going to defile him. It's a condition that is going to isolate him. It's a condition that is ultimately going to take his life. Now, I don't know anyone's soul's condition here this morning. I pray that each and every one of you sitting here in this congregation, I pray that each and every one of you has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I'm going to tell you this, sinner friend. If you're sitting here this morning, you've got a condition that no man can take away. You've got a condition that no man can cure. You've got a condition that you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is but one way and one way only to be saved. By the grace of God through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace through faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me this morning? Have I lost you? I mean, you think about this. Here's Naaman. He's got this condition. He's got this condition that's going to take his life. And he goes down and he says, I've got this idea in my mind. I got this idea of how things are going to go. This is what I'm going to do. And maybe you've come to the house of God today with a preconceived idea that you're going to come in this morning. You're going to go through the Sunday school hour. You're going to listen to your Sunday school teacher. You're going to come in here. You're going to sing a couple of hymns. You're going to listen to the preacher preach. And you're going to walk out those doors. And nothing changed. But maybe you're sitting here this morning. And now the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart as we sit. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit of God is laying conviction upon your heart because of your sins. Maybe, child of God, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've also had a preconceived idea of how your day was going to go. But you come here this morning and you sit and you listen to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you about something. Again, I don't know anybody's situation here. I only know about one person here. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and maybe you've never surrendered to scriptural baptism and you need to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord's been dealing with your heart about joining the Mount Hebron Baptist Church. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit of God has been dealing with you about surrendering to some type of service for the Lord. And maybe today you've come into the day with the idea that you're going to go through all the routines and all the rituals and you're going to leave unchanged. But somehow, some way, the message has come to you. Not the one sitting beside you. Not the one sitting in front of you. Not the one sitting behind you. But the message has come to your heart today. You see, child of God, I think that's ought to be every Sunday. I think we ought to come to the house of God every single Sunday expecting God to speak to my heart.
Amen.
To speak to my life. Amen. Naaman thought, I'll just go over to the house. They'll welcome me. He'll do something great. He'll do something mighty. And he'll recover me of this leprosy. And then he sends a messenger. And the Bible says he got mad. Don't you get mad this morning. The Bible says he got so mad that he was willing to walk away. Don't you walk away this morning. Don't you get mad at the old preacher calling me a sinner. Who are you? Folks, I'm nobody. I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just like you. Amen. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is only one way to be saved today. I want you to turn. I know you know these verses, but we're going to turn anyway. Let's go to Romans for just a moment. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Got just a couple of verses here I want to read. Romans chapter number 10. Verse number 9 and verse number 10. Boy, this is just as easy to understand as you can possibly understand something. I hear people say, well, I can't read that King James Bible. I can't understand anything it says. Well, it's pretty simple because the Bible says, if thou shalt confess, there in verse number 9, chapter number 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt what? Believe in thine heart that God hath done what? Hath raised him from the dead. That thou shalt be saved. Is there any confusion there for anybody? Raise your hand. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to make sure you understand. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it goes on to say in verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. I like it. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9. You don't have to believe a thing this old preacher says, but I'm going to give you the message this morning. This is what the Word of God says. This ain't what old Bruce Blevins says. This is what the Word of God says. For by grace are you saved through faith. Is that pretty simple to understand? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, one of the most dangerous ideas that we can have is a preconceived idea. And I fear today there are far too many churches, there are far too many preachers that are preaching a false truth. There are far too many churches that are teaching a false way to be saved. The Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith, not of yourselves. There's nothing that you can do to save yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I don't know about you, but that any man includes me. There's nothing I can do to merit salvation. There's nothing I can do to earn salvation. But I must do what the message says. You see, it's the same way for Naaman. Naaman couldn't go to the rivers of Abana and Pharpar because that's not where the messenger told him to go. The messenger said, you go down to the Jordan. There was one place, there was one river that Naaman could go and that he could wash and that he could be clean. I'm going to tell you today, there is but one Savior that you can go to. There is but one name that you can call upon that you can be washed and be clean and be forgiven of your sins and be saved today. Woo, I like it, boys. I tell you, I like it. It gets me excited. It ought to get all of us excited. If you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior, then you know what He's done for you. He has forgiven you. I'm telling you what, there was a time in my life I was lost in my sins. If I would have died in that condition, I would have lifted my eyes in hell just like the rich man in Luke in chapter 16. I'm telling you, but by the grace of God, by the grace of God, He sent a messenger to me when I was 14 years old. And that messenger preached the gospel, the true undefiled gospel. And I believed. I repented of my sins that day and I believed and I asked the Lord to save me. And you know what? He did. That gets me excited, folks. That ought to get you excited. You know why? Because there's coming a day and there's coming a time that if my life ends before the Lord calls us home. Boy, it'd be nice if He calls home today. I tell you what. This whole world we're living in would be nothing better than hear that trumpet sound right here, right now, today. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? You ready to go? That's between you and the Lord. Listen, the message was simple for Naaman. The messenger said, Naaman, you go down to that one place. You go down to the Jordan River and you wash seven times and you will be clean. Listen, the message is simple today. You go to one man and his name is Jesus. And you call upon his name. You repent of your sins. You believe in your own heart that God had raised him from the dead on that third and appointed day. Folks, I'm telling you, we serve Thee, not A, but we serve the living God. And Naaman was ready to go away. And he was mad. The Bible says he was wroth. But then there came a voice of reason to old Naaman. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter number 5 for just a minute, and I'll close here in just a minute. And I want us to look at this voice of reason, in verse number 13. The Bible says, "And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, he said, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, while he saith to thee, Wash and be clean." In layman's terms, you know what this servant's saying to Naaman? Naaman, if he'd asked you to do something great, something hard, something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? Naaman, if he'd asked you to give 20,000 pieces of silver, wouldn't you have done it? Naaman, if he'd asked you to bring 20 right chains of raiment to clothes, wouldn't you have done it? But Naaman, he's saying, all you got to do is listen to the message, and all you got to do is what the messenger says, and all you got to do is go just a little bit further. You go just a little bit further, and you go down to the Jordan, and you wash, and you're going to be clean. And the Bible says there, in verse number 14, "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." The Bible says there in verse number 15, "He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know." Notice what he says. "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." From that day forward, that Naaman went down to that old dirty Jordan River. And he went down, and I believe in all my own heart, and again, I'm not trying to interject anything in the Word of God that's not there, but I believe in my own heart, he went down to that Jordan with faith, first of all, believing that if he would just do what the messenger told him to do, that he would walk out of that river clean. He went down and he dipped, not once, not twice, not 3 times, but he did 7 times just as a messenger told him to do. And I believe in my own heart, and when he came out of that water on the 7th time, he was just as clean can be. You see, when the Lord saves you and the Lord forgives you and the Lord washes away your sins, he makes you a new creature, the Bible says. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new," the Bible says. And again, I don't know anybody here. I really don't. I don't know your past. You might be sitting there looking at me saying, "Preacher, you know nothing about me. You don't know the places I've been. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the words that I've said. You don't know the things that I've saw. Preacher, you know nothing about me. How can God forgive an old wretched sinner like me?" I'm telling you, He can. Because He forgave this one. There was nothing good about me. Nothing. My righteousness was as filthy rags. But He forgave me. He picked me up out of a little miry pit of sin. And He set me upon the solid rock. And He washed me clean by His blood. It can be that way for you today. It can be that way for you today. You don't have to leave in the same condition that you came. You see, that's what Naaman almost did. He almost walked away in the very same condition in which he came to the house of Elisha. But then there came that voice of reason. Let me tell you something today. That voice of reason is the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe He's speaking to your heart about something today, and I don't know what it might be. But I'm telling you, it can become dangerous to live with a preconceived idea. There's far too many people living with a preconceived idea. "Oh, preacher, I'm a pretty good old boy. I live a pretty good life. I do a lot of good things. Preacher, I've done a lot of good deeds. Surely God will allow me into His heaven." And there's a lot of people that's going to lift their eyes in hell. And there's a lot of people that's going to hear those words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." all because of a preconceived idea. Don't you leave this place depending, oh, preacher, I come to the church of God, or I come to the house of God all the time. Preacher, I come here all the time. I sing the hymns all the time. I pray the prayers. I put my money in the offering plate. Preacher, I do all of those things. Surely God will let me into His kingdom. What did the Lord say in John chapter 6? Well, John chapter 14 and verse 6. I tell you, I'm sleep deprived. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then what does He say? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The message is simple. Don't make it complicated. And I don't know what the Lord is dealing with you about today, but I'm telling you, don't leave this place. Don't leave this place. If the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart about something, especially salvation, don't leave in the same condition that you come. If we'll have our song leader come and our musicians come, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning and we'll prepare for a song of invitation. And again, I just want to ask you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God today if He's speaking to your heart.